All right.
I said I was Chris. I don't know if you heard me or not.
Oh, yeah. No. We are socially distancing podcasting.
Yes.
So, yes. Yes, indeed.
The coronavirus.
We got a show for you. That's right. What are we going to talk about? What's the first thing, Sam?
Well, the first thing we're going to talk about is the ending of a show that's been on for 15 years. And that show is Supernatural.
Right. Supernatural.
So a couple of weeks ago, the last episode of Supernatural had aired, and we learned the fate of our beloved heroes, the Winchester brothers, Sam and Dean Winchester.
Oh, man.
I find it also fitting that, you know, the last episode took place in Akron/Canton, Ohio.
Oh, did it really?
Yes, get it did. Out of here.
Yes, it did.
Because that's a hotbed of evil.
Well, here's the thing. This 15th season, the big bad was actually God himself, or the name that he goes by is Chuck.
Chuck Goodyear.
No, I'm just Chuck Goodyear.
So for those of you who don't know, a few seasons ago, we found out that a prophet that we thought way back in, I'm going to say season 6 or 7, the prophet Chuck was actually God himself. And we also found out that Sam and Dean were kind of like God's like project. He just enjoyed watching them. So just like us watching Supernatural, God loved watching and putting Sam and Dean in these predicaments. And that's what he was living for. But Sam and Dean were getting tired of being what is called God's puppets. And so, God was getting angry and mad because why weren't they appreciating him? All the things that he has done for them and stuff. So it was Sam and Dean, the angel Castiel and Jack versus, and you know, versus God. So you also had death coming into play, and also being called the Nothing is also in play in this showdown. What so the Nothing is when angels and demons die, it's a void, and it's literally the Nothing. So usually, there's no sound in the Nothing, but events happen and waking up the Nothing up, and the Nothing is angry that it's awake when it should be asleep. So
also the Nothing is actually even, it's like an entity also. It's not just a place then.
Yes, it's an entity also.
Okay.
So a battle ensues. Things get a little dicey for the boys, and how far do you guys want me to go in this?
I mean, I've got a lot of episodes to catch up on. So
here's the thing with me and Supernatural. If I would watch it, if it were an 8-season show, 22 episodes or however many episodes are in a season, there's no way I'm watching 300 episodes of that television show. So spoil away.
Okay. All right. So a little history. Jack is the son of Lucifer, but he is good. Basically, Death, which Death's name is Billy, is a woman, was planning on making Jack into a bomb to blow up God and his sister, the darkness, known as
Charlie Murphy.
Charlie Murphy, the darkness.
As Allura, God's sister. Which that's she was a big bad in the previous season. She was a big bad in the previous season, but she's all good now. So they try to, you know, they make Jack into this bomb to try to destroy God, but they found out that it was going to be a double cross, because once you get rid of God, then someone has to fill in the void, and the person who's next in line to fill in the void, if you kill, take away God and his sister, is death. And what death was going to do was going to kill everyone who's ever died before. So if you've been resurrected, death was going to instantly kill you in the Winchesters. And the Winchesters found that out. But Jack was still a bomb, so Jack gets blown up into the nothing. But then he somehow miraculously comes back and survives the nothing. And what basically ends up happening is Jack becomes an energy sucking being. So he sucks basically all the energy when God has his wrath and starts, you know, going after Dean and Sam, and he kills his own son, Michael, the archangel. The death of Lucifer happens again. And basically, Jack drains God of all of his powers and becomes the new God. So you have a new God now. And so now Sam and Dean feel like they are free and whatever. And so basically in Akron, Ohio, where the boys were there for a pie eating contest, a murder and some two boys were kidnapped. So Sam and Dean go investigate, come to find out they are a pack of vampires. And in the fighting ensued, the boys take care of the vampires. But during the process, Dean is mortally wounded and he ends up dying. So basically, it shows Dean in heaven, and it shows basically Sam living his life, growing old with his wife and his son. And then Sam dies of old age and meets Dean up in heaven, and they ride off into the sunset.
Oh, man. Mm-hmm. So one of the Winchester brothers actually dies early on, and kind of. And that's how the episode ends.
Well, yeah, that's how the episode ends. But for the most part, they kill off Dean. It was one of the general consensus of everyone was they enjoyed the episode.
Why do I have a feeling you're going to say you had issues?
No, I do not. I honestly do not have issues with this episode. Okay. I honestly think it is one of the best endings of a series. I think it is what it is. I could say that, I guess some people's complaint was Sam and Dean has faced all these obstacles. How come something like that just end up killing off Dean? And it's like, you have to remember there's an episode, four or five episodes back, where God takes away, you know, his plot hold, meaning that God made armor. Yeah, his armor, his plot armor. Their plot armor. God made it to where Sam and Dean could take punches from entities without really serious damage. It's like when Chuck took that away, it's like, hey guys, guess what? You get sick, your car breaks down, you don't have that plot armor anymore in your story. So that was an interesting episode.
So what were they doing in Ohio?
They went for a pie. It was like a pie eating carnival or something like that, a festival.
Akron is famous for that.
That is correct. It was in Akron. Yeah. See? When I see Akron, I was like, you know, I wasn't getting my hopes up because I was like, oh, you know, there's other Akrons in the Midwest or, you know, and but then they were like, oh, here's Ken. And I was like, oh, they're Ohio. They're Ohio.
And their famous pie-eating contest. That they
is that where Dean died?
Yeah, that Dean died in Akron, Kent area. Yes.
So okay,
we should
good.
Get a Kickstarter going to put a statue of Dean in Akron, Ohio.
Yeah,
you heard it here first. Maybe
that's right.
Some of y'all prior thought
Ohio, it. Ohio claims another.
That's right. I gotta say though, that does sound actually. That sounds like it ended pretty well. I think I've probably watched, how many seasons are there? There are
15 seasons.
15 seasons. Yeah. So I've got like, I have at least, I think 10 seasons to go. So I think I stopped right around the five season mark, I think. So,
I stopped at episode one. I enjoyed episode one. And at that point there was well over 100, so I thought, why ruin it? I don't know if the quality will actually. No, I'm just joking, but I just don't know. I don't know why I just never watch it. It's just a daunting experience, and that was only after season 7 or 8. You know, it's a daunting experience to try and get through that many episodes. There are 320 episodes.
Well, I have most of the DVD. That's a pretty good.
I mean, realistically, you could watch Supernatural as a full-time job and it would take you 8 weeks.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. I think that math works out.
Yeah, I did the math.
You did the math.
But, so, yeah. So, you know, the actors, are going to be moving on.
Oh, one of them talked to play something important.
Say that again.
Isn't one of those two in talks to play someone important?
Well, you got Jared Pickle. I can never say his last name.
Padalecki, right?
He will be Walker, Texas Ranger, on the new CW show. Yeah.
And Jensen Ackles is coming to The Boys.
That's right. Speaking of The Boys.
Oh, man.
Look at that.
The Boys.
The seamless segue.
That was the seamless segue. How about that as a show? The Boys. That's all that.
That is a show.
That is a show.
I enjoy it.
Yeah, it was actually I had expectations for it, I suppose, and it's probably at least in my opinion, it's better than my expectations were. I really thought it was pretty good. Yeah.
Yeah, it's how far did you get, Sam?
I'm pretty much, I can get the gist of both season one and season two. So I know all the major plots that happen.
Okay. All right.
There's nothing really to ruin for you then, right?
Right. Correct.
So season one, I thought that was well paced. And very, very much so. I didn't like that they released an episode a week for season two because they didn't get to binge it.
Yeah. See, I didn't. I watched it after it was all released already. Yeah. So I did binge it. So I get to, but yeah, because I actually didn't even watch season one. So I binged the whole series.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I kind of, I guess, you know, you like some shows, you know, maybe the quality changes from season to season or whatever. Yeah. I think it remained pretty consistent, at least it when did. Upon viewing it. Yeah.
I thought the first couple of episodes of the third season, they were interesting, but there wasn't as much craziness in them as there was. There was like episodes, there was crazy all throughout season one. And
yeah,
second two thirds of the season or whatever, I thought of season two made up for it. Because there was a lot going on.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, there is a lot going on in that show for sure, and I think that's why I have to say that it kind of exceeded my expectations because of all the plots that are going on and all the little nuances that in that like world that they created. It's pretty.
Yeah.
I think it's pretty good. And that, you know, lots of it seems like a lot of timeliness is involved in that show too, like making like echoing like the current state of the world in some respects too.
Yeah, they did that in The Man in the High Castle too.
yeah. I started and I only got through like the first season of that, and well, I don't know.
You can see how it's mirroring today's world. Stormfront. I thought she was a great character. Do you think we'll see more of her?
She's still kicking.
Yeah.
Barely, but she is still kicking. Yeah. I do like the different gender, the switch from the comics to the show.
Oh, yeah. I think it worked out really well.
Yeah.
Did you see what like she says at the end in German?
I thought I saw what it meant, but I can't remember.
I read it because I thought that she was probably babbling like the worst possible racist stuff because of who she is. But it's actually like her talking to her husband about stopping with their daughter at the side of the road for a picnic under an apple tree and picking apples and stuff like that.
Interesting.
Probably just some random German stuff they found online. Hey, just say this. No one will ever look it up.
Yeah. No chance. I looked that up right away.
Like, do they not know the internet by now?
Right, exactly.
Yeah, come on. Google Translate. Yo. That's a... That show is it's really pretty good. I don't really have anything else really kind of to say about it besides that it's really it's enjoyable. It's like
I'm curious what they're doing with Black Noir, because the comic's very different with Black Noir.
That's what I thought too. I couldn't remember exactly how it was different, but I thought it was too. It's been a while since I read the comic code.
20 years. Comic book spoiler. He's a clone.
Yeah.
Of Homelander.
Right.
Oh.
They're like the same. Yeah.
And he's there to take down Homelander if he gets out of control.
And he's the one that basically. Raped the butcher's wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, in the comics.
Oh, okay.
So next season we're supposed to get Herogasm.
Yeah. Oh, that's gonna be interesting how they do that.
Yeah, I don't know what they're gonna do. That's that. It's fun. Basically like a giant vacation, like a he missed vacation for soups.
Yeah, like they tell the news media and stuff tells the world that the superheroes are going to a convention and it's an island of where superheroes go and
debauchery, right?
Yeah.
Okay, I kind of remember this.
It's been a long time since I read any boys.
Yeah, I just need to understand something about the deep here. It's like, oh, hey, you know what? I'm going to put a big, gigantic whale to stop a boat.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's like, do you not know who we are?
Right. I will say this about the show. It made me feel kind of bad for sea life. I felt bad about the dolphin. Felt bad about the whale. I'm like, come on, man.
They do not like SeaWorld.
That's I'm telling you, man. But
I felt worse for the lobster.
Oh yeah. Oh God, yeah. Jeez. I will say a lot of times I kind of like the differences between the show and the comic, I think. I don't know if I necessarily will say I like the show better than the comic. But I like the differences, like how it's done. I like how it's handled.
In my opinion, I think the show is written better than the comic because probably. There's a lot of things in the comic that I just didn't make sense to me. But
I feel like the comic is Garth Ennis Unchained, which sometimes is a scary place. Whereas the show kind of takes the general
reels it back a little bit in some ways,
but isn't afraid to go
to those places. Yeah, but only kind of where it makes narrative sense, I think.
Yeah,
like, you know, because I guess that was my initial kind of. I kind of hesitated to watch The Boys because I thought it was just going to be exactly that. Garth Ennis Unchained, if you will. And I'm like, yeah, okay, yeah, you know. But no, it's much better than that. So, I appreciate the comic, I guess, just because of, you know, it being a comic book and them kind of going, you know, pushing limits, if you will. But I appreciate the show, I think, for the storytelling and how well it's handled, I think.
What else? What else are we talking about?
Well, since we were kind of mentioning Nazis, Should we segue to Disney Plus?
Wow, man, you always seem to go down this road, Rick. What, you want to tell us something?
Yeah, Rick.
Well, when I see people being voices being silenced. No.
No, just FYI, Dean Winchester did kill Hitler.
See, there you go. Yeah.
So now Rick will never watch this show. Great, Sam.
do you think if Supernatural were to be purchased by Disney, do you think they would remove that episode from the Supernatural catalog? Is there a lot of Nazi symbolism in the show, episode?
Isn't there a rumor, though, that Walt Disney was an anti-Semite?
That is a rumor.
I don't think that might back the statement up, but
yeah.
But I will look at the crows in Dumbo with a judgmental eye.
Yes. What about the Something of the South?
Song of the South.
Oh yeah.
Song of the South.
Yeah.
Let's not forget what's the musical one? Fantasia. And the wood nymphs.
Oh yeah. That's right. I forgot about that too. Hmm.
Yeah, so they're trying to escape their past.
Yeah. But Song of the South they've removed completely, right?
So
yeah,
it's in the vault.
It's in the vault.
Right.
it's right where the Ark of the Covenant's at.
Right next to Disney's frozen head.
Yeah.
It is never coming out. What are you talking about? Oh.
Yeah. No, what?
Zippity what? The funny thing is, you know, it has one of the most famous songs in that movie.
I have to say, that song, I like the song probably, but I don't know. It's catchy, but yeah.
I used to have that on tape. Like I had a cassette that was like a follow along with the book. I bet you they don't make that anymore.
Probably not. Probably not. So yeah.
So what has Disney Plus done now?
Oh yes, yes, yeah. I guess there was a Saturday morning cartoon. I guess that I think all three of us have watched it. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
It's yeah. Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends with Iceman and Firestar.
Yeah. Every episode had the intro of Stan Lee, spoken word Stan Lee. He's talking about, you know, what's going on in the episode and everything. True Believers. There's one episode where Spidey and his amazing friends basically battled the Red Skull. And the episode is called The Quest of the Red Skull, I think is the name of it.
Got it.
Apparently it was banned because of so much Nazi symbolism in the episode. And, you know, there it is, because, you know, I watched it recently because I was curious about it, seeing how bad it was. And it is, but I mean, it's the Red Skull. So, I mean,
he was a Nazi.
Yeah, he's a Nazi. So,
and it's kind of stay true to life. The Nazis did, you know, they're like Apple and they brand everything.
Exactly.
And they built their empire on the backs of slaves. But hey,
man, we are never getting sponsors.
Never. But yeah, so I mean, I guess it makes me kind of curious as to why they decided to do it. The one thing I didn't mention, there's also a Native American character that they team up with in the episode called Hiawatha Smith.
What?
Yeah, and I guess it's a character. Yeah, Hiawatha Smith.
Go look at the Red Skull.
Yeah. Because I guess the reason why they went with that, because I had to look into that too, because I was curious. I'm like, why is this episode banned? I guess, you know, during World War II, they had a bunch of Native Americans that kind of fought against, you know, the Nazis as well, with the, you know, code breakers and all that kind of crap and stuff.
Oh, Windwalkers or something?
Windtalkers or something.
Yeah.
Because they used their language, I think, which is Navajo or whatever, to it was difficult to break that code because it's not really based off of any kind of like Latin or anything like that. At least that's my understanding of it. Not that I'm like some linguistic specialist or anything, but that's my understanding of it. So that character is in it too. So I was thinking maybe is it because of the portrayal of the Native American character that's in it? I didn't dig deep enough to see if it was, you know, who was the voice actor that portrayed the Native American. It didn't really seem to be, you know, as over the top, I guess, as maybe the depiction of Sunfire in another episode of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends, where it was like a really over the top Japanese accent. So, but from all that I've been able to gather, we removed that episode specifically just because of the Nazi symbolism in it. And I guess it would make me wonder, okay, well, why would you keep Captain America the First Avenger on Disney Plus? Isn't there just about as much Nazi symbolism in that movie?
I think I remember them taking out most of the swastikas and stuff.
Really? In the First Avenger?
I don't remember seeing.
I remember seeing it.
Oh, well.
Yeah, I think I do too. And there are a lot of swastikas in that Man episode. I mean, there are. I mean, it's almost borderline over the top. But I mean, they do kind of show like the Native American usage of the swastika, and they have some, you know, it's almost like at one point the Red Skull's henchmen like salute the Native American swastika, and the Red Skull calls them idiots for saluting the wrong swastika. So it's just kind of, I don't know. So it's just a kind of a weird thing that I guess they chose to even do those things in that episode to begin with, I suppose. So maybe it's a little bit in poor taste at times, but yeah. I don't know if it's any worse than that episode with Sun Park.
With my ignorance, I didn't know there was a Native America swastika. So,
the Nazis kind of actually took it from the Native Americans. That kind of I think it goes the other way or whatever. It's like inversed, I believe, is the difference.
I just thought they always took it
across. Can you confirm that or deny that?
I'm sorry, say that again. I was reading about Nazis in Captain America: The First Avenger. Go ahead.
The difference between the Native American swastika and the Nazi swastika is it's just backwards, right? Flip the other way.
No. To be honest with you, I believe the swastika wasn't Native American. It was actually from India. But let me.
I'm pretty sure it's Native American, I think. I'm not 100% sure what the differences are. I think it's facing the other way.
Sanskrit. It's India.
Is it?
In the ancient Indian language. Look at you, racist. Can't tell the difference between Native Americans and Indians.
Well, maybe just that's call you why Columbus. They because in that episode, though, they're talking about Native Americans and the swastika.
In the ancient Indian language of Sanskrit, swastika means well-being. The symbol has been used by Hindus, Buddhists, and Jains for millennia and is commonly assumed to be an Indian sign. Early Western travelers to Asia were inspired by its positive and ancient associations and started using it to bring it back home. By the beginning of the 20th century, there was a huge fad for the swastika as a benign good luck symbol.
Not anymore.
It's kind of been flipped.
Yeah,
it's because amazing. Even if you flip it, it's still, you know.
And it,
I just read a thing though too. It was also used by American Indian tribes also.
Oh, was it?
Yeah. So I guess maybe it was used notably by the Navajo. Okay, so in that episode, the guy was a Navajo. So I guess it was used by a bunch of different cultures. Before it was grown by the Nazis.
Ancient Greeks decorated their pots with it.
Yep. You see what they ruined?
Yeah.
You can't even have the Charlie Chaplin mustache anymore.
I know. Adolf Hitler ruined that mustache forever.
Michael Jordan tried to bring it back.
I don't know why. Everyone kept looking at his face like, hey, dude, you got something underneath your nose.
the only reason to have that mustache is if you're too lazy to finish shaving. It's
but you got that far. You, I mean, let's be honest. Yeah. You got that far by going on both sides.
That's true. It's almost more like it's a mustache mistake. Like, oh man, I forgot. I missed that spot. That's not really so much a mustache as a.
You know, but I didn't realize I was late for work, so I guess I gotta stop.
That's right. Missed the spot.
All right, so
man.
Hold on a second. Yeah, there's no swastikas in Captain America: The First Avenger.
Really? So maybe that's a decision they made to do. Yeah, that's interesting.
It becomes a huge deal because Germany won't show movies that have swastikas in them.
Really? Ah.
So, and then they were talking about, like, no one wants to, if the villains, they made a point of Captain America fighting Hydra versus the Nazis in that movie because no one wants Nazi toys.
Oh yeah, yeah. I guess I can kind of see that.
Yeah. Okay. So anyway. So it seems silly to ban the episode where the villain is a known Nazi.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking at the voice actor, by the way, of Hiawatha Smith, and his name is Michael Ansara, and he is of Lebanese descent. But he was in a lot of different
things. Not Native American. So there might be some problematic things in that episode.
He provided the voice of Mr. Freeze in Batman the Animated Series.
Oh wow.
Oh.
And he was also Buck Rogers in the 20th
century. Like Disney Plus was okay with the episode with Sunfire in it. All they did was put a disclaimer in front of it that there was some what's the wording?
Racially like insensitive stereotypes.
There you go. That's the word I was looking for. And I don't know if that's exactly what it says, but I believe that's sums it up. I could see where maybe they would put that in front of that episode of Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends. I don't know, in front of the Red Skull episode instead of just removing it completely. But I don't know. I can see, you know, a lot of people find that symbol offensive, so I can, you know, I guess I can see that.
I've never tried to look it up. Does Disney Plus have the Donald Duck cartoon where he's goose stepping?
I don't think so.
Or duck stepping, I guess would be.
There's a cartoon like that.
Yeah, he's singing it's really an anti-Hitler song while they're doing it, but they're showing me like in the Nazis army. It came out in the 1940s. I don't remember the song except the chorus of something like when der Führer says that he is the master race, Sieg Heil, Sieg Heil, right in the Führer's face.
I guess to talk about this, I'm trying to think of how many movies might actually have a swastika even depicted in it.
Yeah, I don't see them very often anymore, except for like Man in the High Castle. It's really hard to get around that. But did you know there's a, in front of Aliens, there is a warning about racially insensitive? I don't know if it's on Hulu or... I think it's on Hulu.
Really? I'm trying to think where what I'm sure it's in there.
Well, you know what it is, as far as anyone can tell, It's I can't remember what the character's name is, but she's either Hispanic or Latino or something. The character is, but the actress who played her is New York Jewish, and they spray painted her to look Hispanic.
What? Oh, wow. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know it either until I looked up. Why does that have a...
That's kind of crazy. That's kind of crazy that they would...
It's on Canada. It's Canada on Sky Cinema. They added a warning about outdated attitudes.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
In front of 16 movies, including Aladdin, The Goonies, Aliens, Dumbo, Gone with the Wind, Lawrence of Arabia, Tropic Thunder, The Jazz Singer, The Littlest Rebel, The Lone Ranger, Balls of Fury, and The Last Samurai.
That's a, yeah, I, yeah, and some of those movies aren't that old.
No.
So, yeah, so it's kind of, that's kind of,
well,
yeah,
I don't, it's, Tropic Thunder, you wouldn't be able to make it in its original way now.
But isn't Balls of Fury even newer? I think.
It came out a year or two probably after Tropic Thunder, but I think the whole point of Tropic Thunder was to make fun of...
Oh, I don't think they did anything wrong necessarily in Tropic Thunder. I just don't think that the attitude in our society today would allow them to make fun of the negatives. Just, I mean,
right.
It's the last movie that I remember hearing the R word in,
right,
at least using that that way,
full on.
Yeah, I thought the way, even when that movie came out, I was a little bit surprised that they kind of had done that.
Yeah,
frankly, because that was, yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, it's, yeah. So yeah, I guess on that note.
So keeping up with Disney Plus.
Oh yes, nice segue, Sam. Thank you for helping us get off the topic.
This is a show of segues.
Yes.
Of segues, let's move on to the latest episodes of The Mandalorian.
Segways, yes. And racism and whiskers on kittens.
the Mandalorian's pretty safe, I think, as far as that goes. Not too much racial insensitivity going on in that. I don't know. Maybe the sand people. Maybe.
Well, they showed sand people in a positive light.
That's really true. That's the most positive light they've probably ever been presented in, really.
I'm a little upset with myself.
Oh, what's good?
What's that?
I'm a little upset with myself because, you know, I watched Star Wars, the Clone Wars and stuff, and I enjoyed the Mandalorian episodes, but when the Mandalorian came out and they're not taking off their helmets, I don't know why I never questioned that. Because I'm like, wait a minute. We've seen Mandalorians before.
I've questioned that. I didn't watch all of the Clone Wars, but I saw enough of those episodes to know that they walked around with their helmets off. And Rebels, Sabine always had her helmet off, and
right.
So
when this one episode came about, right. I should have known that they do take off their helmets, and then they explained the difference between the different sets of Mandalorians.
It's like a religious belief with certain factions of the Mandalorians, apparently. It's kind of interesting, I thought.
I'm really excited for the next episode.
Yeah, the rumors.
Dave Filoni is director, and he created Ahsoka. So the chances of her not showing up on the one that he's directing very slim.
Yeah.
I've heard rumors of Sabine showing up too.
Oh, she did.
She did?
Yeah, Sabine. Yeah, you guys, she not this past episode, but last week's episode, she showed up.
Oh no, that one was
Bo-Katan.
Bo-Katan. Yeah.
Oh, Bo-Katan.
Yeah.
Sabine's Sabine's one that... from Rebels, so she would be.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, the spray painter one.
The spray painter one. Okay, gosh, she's the Rebels.
Yep.
Yeah. Which is nice because with Bo-Katan, they got the, they got Katie Sackhoff who actually voiced her.
Yeah.
Can we put Katie Sackhoff on the female sci-fi Mount Rushmore? Can we put her on there? Because she's up there with, Sigourney Weaver. Line,
right?
Yeah. She's I think she's earned her place.
She has. And she's in one of the Halloween movies.
Yeah.
So I mean,
I think she earned her place up there in this Mount Rushmore of female sci-fi.
If how cool would it be like if they get like a whole army of Mandalorians that are like well-known characters? Like if they bring her in, Sabine. All that would be kind of cool.
Boba Fett.
I think Boba Fett will be like revealed later on as being, I guess typically think of Boba Fett as being kind of a villain, right? Maybe.
Right.
I wonder if they'll show him in a different light, if you will, later. What do you think the chances of that happening are?
It depends. He may have to do it to get his armor back.
Yeah.
Because basically he does it for money.
Yeah. Yeah.
Unless you're a Jedi and he'll do it kind of for free because he hates Jedi because they killed his daddy.
Oh, that's right.
I saw someone how cool it would be if the Mandalorian's path takes him to a old and disfigured Mace Windu.
That would be
we never saw him die.
Cool. That's true.
And then if he has hooked up with Boba Fett, it gives Boba Fett a chance to kill the person that killed his father.
That would be interesting.
Do you think Mace would still technically be alive, or would he have died of old age? Because Luke, I mean, he was just born when all that happened, and he was already an old guy.
Let's talk about the scattered timeline that is Star Wars. Okay, so let's think about the people that we watched age. Obi-Wan went from 30-year-old Ewan McGregor to like 75-year-old Alec Guinness in 18 years. Meanwhile,
living in the desert of Tatooine, though, is probably pretty hard. Hard on you.
Bo-Katan was a full-fledged adult during the Clone Wars, and yet she looks pretty much the same.
I thought they said her and Ahsoka were like the same age.
Well, okay. Let's suppose that she was 17. Oh, she looked older in the cartoon, though.
Yeah, I thought she was like a little, maybe a year or two older than Ahsoka. Maybe Ahsoka is just short. I don't know. I could be wrong. I mean, I understand what you're saying.
She's ages differently too. I don't know.
Boba Fett during the Clone Wars was 11 years old. And then we see him on Tatooine 20 years later. And man, he looks like he's 50 something.
That is true. I mean, maybe being in the Sarlacc pit, though, damages you in some way.
And he is a clone, so maybe the whole growing a little bit faster than not normal clones, but I mean.
Yeah, it could be. How about this, though? Is Boba Fett a Mandalorian?
See, I look at I look at Mandalorian as like Jewish. It is both a people and a religion. So we don't know if Jango Fett was originally from Mandalore. We just know that he wore Mandalorian armor that was clearly not made from Beskar because of the damage it takes.
Yeah.
So we don't know, technically speaking, all the clones could be Mandalorian since they share his DNA.
Mando. So it will be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
awesome. I do want to see what that adult said.
Yeah.
I don't really have much else to say about Mandalorian. Last episode was good, but it just felt like an appetizer for him finding Ahsoka.
Yeah, it's kind of like a seg
filler episode. Like,
yeah, we got to get here to get there. So how do we do that? And then I did like that they brought back that guy from the first episode of the Mandalorian, the guy that he put in. Yes. Exactly. I didn't even realize as Horatio Sands until you just said that. Like, it all makes sense now. that is crazy. Oh my god.
Yeah, he didn't look into the camera and start laughing, did he?
Yeah,
that only happens with Jimmy.
If Jimmy Fallon was in a scene with him, then it would just be
them laughing.
And laughing and looking down.
I like how they've kind of started building this whole universe around the little characters around Mando. I like that. It's like its own little corner of the Star Wars universe that doesn't necessarily have to have any of the big name characters that we've seen in all of the movies.
Yeah, that's not in there. But they're visiting places and they're visiting aliens that we've seen before, which I felt was horribly missing in the sequel trilogy. It's like everything was new aliens. And
yeah.
I really like that they're visiting Jawas and Mon Calamari and
right, because then it feels more like a universe, I think, because you see these familiar characters, you know. It's not,
yes,
you know, like, how creative like can we get with this species?
But
what was that?
I said they're introducing new ones, but they're sprinkled in with ones we already know,
with familiar ones, exactly. I like that a lot. Yeah, it's the whole show is like it's again, I guess it's beyond my expectations. It's like I was looking forward to it, but it's way better than I thought it was going to be.
Yeah, it's single-handedly keeping the Star Wars franchise fans
excited about it. Yeah,
excited about Star Wars.
And you earlier were kind of complaining about how The Boys was released on a weekly type as opposed to being available all at once and you could binge it. I kind of like how it's kind of a weekly.
I don't mind it release. With The Mandalorian. Maybe no? It's because the first season of The Boys was all at once, I believe.
And
the second season, they decided to space it out.
I think the weekly release, though, I think I appreciate each episode more so than if they were all binged at once. Like, it all kind of blurs together, I think, then at that point. Whereas this, that I can talk about each specific episode because I kind of remember it better, I think, because I watched it and, you know, had time to digest and think about it. I don't know.
You got a chance to Sarlacc it.
Netflix.
Starlack it. So, speaking of weekly series and franchises, we can talk about a weekly show that has lost its host and a franchise who has lost their first person who played the role. And I'm speaking about Alex Trebek and Sean Connery.
Celebrity deaths, segues.
Yes, yes. Sam, the king of segues.
Yeah.
I was kind of thinking about it's kind of weird that these two kind of died within such a short time frame of each other, considering the SNL relationship that those two had together. But I spent some time thinking about this, and without a doubt, like, Sean Connery has had a pretty big impact on pop culture. You know, probably, you know, one of my favorite movies, Highlander. I mean, he's pretty awesome there. I mean, and I guess, you know, we probably should just mention there are some problematic things with Sean Connery too, with some things that he said. You know,
he never said about he was going to close fist hit a woman. It was all open hand. Sometimes when you've given them the last word and they keep going, I'm sorry. I just remember at the time of that interview going, oh no, I don't think you're allowed to say that, Sean.
Yeah. Just stop talking, please. You're changing my whole opinion of you. But, that was unfortunate. I think the cultural impact of Alex Trebek is equally big, because I started thinking about all the different things that Jeopardy has been kind of involved in. I mean, you know, in the movie White Man Can't Jump, Rosie Perez is like obsessed with being on Jeopardy.
I'm very proud of you, Rick, for bringing referencing White Man Can't Jump.
I love that movie. So a white man that can't jump.
I'm like, what's going on?
That's how not like you, Rick.
I know, right? But also, like, I mean, there was like I'm pretty sure there's more than just what I'm kind of thinking, but I'm pretty sure there was a Cheers episode.
Yep.
Who are people who have never been in my kitchen, Alex?
Right. Exactly. So, and I'm sure those are just two, I mean, that I can think of where, you know, Jeopardy's, you know, can you think of another game show that had that kind of impact?
No. Wheel of Fortune's probably kind of cool.
Yeah, Yankovic has made a song parody of it. I lost on Jeopardy.
Maybe The Price is Right, maybe.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Bob Barker appearing in the... Billy Madison. Was it Bill? No, not Price. Billy. Happy Gilmore.
Gilmore, yeah. But Weird Al Yankovic has not, to my knowledge, made a song about The Price is Right.
Aaron Paul got his career started as a contestant on The Price is Right.
That is true.
Did you know that Alex Trebek wasn't even the first host of Jeopardy?
I did not know. I did not know that.
Yeah, it was on in the 70s before he got, I think he came on mid 80s.
Yeah. And he was hosting, Alex Trebek was hosting like three other game shows at that time too.
He was also like a weatherman, I believe. He was something like a newscaster or something, I think, up until then. I seem to recall that. Anyways, I think I listened to a podcast or something where they interviewed several years back, I think. Maybe. I don't know.
They did announce for the short term what they're going to be doing to finish off the season. Is they're going to have a series of temporary hosts, and they've announced the first one is Ken Jennings.
Yes, his arch nemesis.
That's fitting, I think.
Yeah,
I think it's fitting. Arguably, probably the most popular Jeopardy contestant. But also there were rumors, and I don't know if there's any I don't know if it's just rumors.
Rumor has it
that a certain what's that?
I said I'm not going to sing Adele. You two can do it.
Oh. I don't want to embarrass Adele. That's, you know. that a certain Reading Rainbow host, there was like an internet thing.
Oh, yes. There's been an internet campaign to get LeVar Burton to.
Right. And I think that would be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I mean, who doesn't love LeVar Burton? He's an actor, but he's also a person, I think, that like people respect, like with Alex Trebek. Like Alex Trebek had a certain public persona that people respected or felt a certain way about. People feel the same way about LeVar Burton.
Certainly. One could even say that he floats in front of your face like a butterfly in the sky, and he can go twice as high. Just take a look. It's in a book.
Reading Grandpa. That was beautiful, Chris.
Thanks. I just thought of that on the spot.
I was going to say, man, you should write that down.
I should.
I think it would be cool if LeVar Burton was on, was the host. I think as cool as Ken Jennings being the host is, you know, anything suitable too. But I think I would prefer to see LeVar Burton personally. That's just me.
Right.
All right. I guess on that note, I don't know if we have anything else to really say.
Quick news notes.
Oh.
They're going forward with Deadpool 3.
I did hear about that.
That's kind of exciting. They're getting some people, some folks from Bob's Burgers to write it, yes.
Yeah.
And then...
That's hilarious.
Yes. Wonder Woman is officially coming out on Christmas on HBO Go or whatever that's called. For no additional cost. It's just going to be part of the service.
Oh, wow.
Really?
Yeah.
I may pull the trigger on HBO Max then just to watch that. I'm kind of surprised they're doing that.
That's sad, yeah.
I think they figure that they don't know when theaters are going to open up again. And they think of all the additional subscribers they might get from people who buy it just to watch Wonder Woman. And then fall in love with the content, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah. See, I'm not sure how I feel about this whole because I mean, the DC Universe app thing that they have, you know, and that has a, like a nice collection of comics as well as their original movies and series and stuff that they put on there. I guess they're transitioning away from that format, and they're going to take the video portion of it, like the TV shows and everything. They're going to put those in HBO Max.
Yeah,
the DC Universe app is just going to have comics at that point.
I don't think it probably will last a ton of time after they take all the other stuff away.
I can't see it lasting because I don't know. I see HBO Max maybe looking more appealing if they're going to bring all that stuff there. But I don't know. I'm not sure. I mean, there's a big hullabaloo with all the stuff about them doing the Zack Snyder cut of Justice League also. And it looks cool. It looks cool. It doesn't look like so much a cut, but it looks like a whole new movie.
The other movie looked cool too.
Yeah. Yeah. And exactly.
You got Justice League.
So I don't know. I'm not sure how I feel about the whole HBO Max thing. Because I mean, they have HBO Go. I mean, it's almost like too much HBO.
Well,
you need to just come up with
and stick with that. The thing of it is that like the HBO Go is just to get your HBO, right? It's your shows and movies that are currently streaming on HBO. This HBO Max or whatever is a whole bunch more stuff. In my personal opinion, if I was Warner Brothers, and I'm not. Oh, speaking of Warner Brothers, let's segue for a second. I watched the first episode of Animaniacs.
Oh, yeah. I saw that came out. Is it a thumbs up?
No, thumbs up. Yeah, it was entertaining. From the opening.
Is it zany to the max?
It's, I was at first disappointed because Bill Clinton was no longer playing the sax, but he did make a cameo later. It starts out with a Jurassic Park takeoff straight out of 1994. But it's pretty amazing. It's good. And Pinky and the Brain, and it was fun. Huh. I'm sorry, I don't even know what I was talking about anymore. If I was Warner Brothers, I would put all of because you've got Disney putting all their stuff on there. Now they own Fox, so, and then they own Hulu, so Disney's going to put Fox stuff on Hulu and Disney on Disney Plus, and Netflix has whatever Netflix has. So it makes sense that Warner Brothers should just put all of their crap on theirs.
Yeah.
True.
Eventually, what I would kind of like to see them do is these big studios then could just stream it free over the airwaves and just put on a set of amount of program, maybe just in the evenings. And they could come up like with different names, like the National Broadcasting Company or the American Broadcasting Company.
That's a pretty unique concept. I don't think that would ever fly, though.
Yeah, I mean, if I was Disney now, I would like buy one of those and then have another one that I just own. I would just call it Fox. Be my own competition.
Yeah, because then you can't lose.
Right.
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure. It seems like Warner Brothers is making some weird decisions on their content. I don't know. They either need to kind of like follow the direction of what everybody else is doing, or they got to just stick with the unique things that they're doing. because I kind of liked the DC Universe app when it had its own video content and the comics. It was like, oh, this is different. This is the reason why I would get this, maybe more so than the Marvel Comics Unlimited. But you know, now it's turning more into just being the DC version of the Marvel Comics Unlimited app. So I don't know.
HBO Max is expensive.
Yeah, that too. It's I don't know.
$15 a month.
Yeah. Now and the thing is too, is I think when they have those two too, it's like they have HBO Go and HBO Max. Now you had on demand content on HBO Go with the old HBO original series and stuff like that. I believe you have some of that still on HBO Max. So what the heck is the difference? I mean, yeah, I guess there's more new content maybe on HBO Max, but why would you buy both HBO Go and HBO Max? I don't know.
I'm looking it up now. What's the difference?
And the fact that I don't know, I think is their problem. Because when you have consumers that are confused about what you're offering, you're going to have people that aren't going to buy it.
According to their website, the biggest difference between HBO Max and HBO is what you can stream. HBO Max, you stream HBO plus so much more. You stream all of HBO together with a collection of classic TV favorites, even more blockbuster movies and new Max originals. So I guess the difference is you like some of these shows that they're going to have on HBO Max aren't going to be on HBO. So therefore they won't be on the HBO Now. And then in addition to that, there's probably have rights to some of them. Seems probably, if I had to guess, I would say the difference, like why they're doing is they still want people to subscribe to HBO as a regular television service. And with that subscription, you probably get HBO Go. Versus if you really want the online and what you stream.
Get HBO Max.
I would imagine there will come a time where they will combine them into one.
Yeah, it seems odd to me to release in this new service and not just combining them both into one from the get-go. I don't know. It seems weird. I don't know. I don't know, man. So I don't know. Where do we go from there?
To bed.
To bed. Yeah.
We can go on. We could go to allmyissues.com on our Facebook page.
The king is. Segways has returned.
From this day forward, I dub the Johnny Segway. No longer Sam.
I'm telling you, man.
You go on our Facebook page at All of My Issues. You can check us out on Podcast on Google Play and iTunes Store and wherever else you hear our podcast. That's where people can go next.
I'm just going to go on a limb.
Very Johnny, well done, Sam.
Johnny Segway sounds like an old gangster that, like, is slightly immobilized a little bit and just rides around on one of the segways. He's definitely a made man.
It's making me think of Johnny Cab from what the heck's the Arnold Schwarzenegger movie, the Mars.
Are you talking about Total Recall?
Total Recall. Oh, there you go. Thank you, Johnny Cab.
Or if you do need total recall of some of our previous episodes, again, you could go to allfaceshoes.com.
Oh, man.
What you did there.
You're earning that name.
That's impressive, Sam. That is impressive. So, all right. I guess on that note, I guess we'll sign out. Thanks for listening, everybody.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
All right.